ask you please to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 27. I also add my own words there too with Brother Sterrett, on to our Brother Gideon. Good to have you in the service this morning. Yes, sir. Proverbs chapter 27, reading verse 1, and then continuing on at verse 18 to the end of this chapter, Proverbs 27. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof, so he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. As in water, face answereth to face, so the heart of man to man. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. As the refining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. Though thou shouldest bray a fool in the mortar, or grind a fool in a mortar among wheat with the pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. For riches are not forever. Doth the crown endure to every generation? The hay appeareth, and the tender grass showeth itself, and the herbs of the mountains are gathered. The lambs are for thy clothing, and the goats are the price of the field. And thou shalt have goat's milk enough for thy food, for the food of thy household, and for the maintenance of thy maidens. Please join with me for a brief word of prayer. Father, we have the word open now, and we ask for help, because, Lord, the well of Scripture is deep, and we ourselves are very limited to draw out what is necessary. We know, Lord, that we cannot do anything without the help of the Spirit of God. Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. And so, Lord, I pray today that I will know the infilling of thy Spirit. For, Lord, I stand in my weakness, a vessel much in need of the power of God to speak the word of truth. And Lord, I pray that same power will be poured out upon this congregation and everyone listening to the word. Because, Lord, there is great need for an opening of the mind, an opening of the heart to receive these things. Lord, teach us this morning, we pray. Help us to grow in grace, in the knowledge of God. Write thy word upon every heart, we ask. The Lord, hear this, our prayer today. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Taking account of our lives. That's the subject I want to speak to you about this morning. Taking account of our lives. The idea about this accounting, well, it's repeated several times for us in the Scripture. As a matter of fact, the Lord Jesus used several illustrations in the New Testament. In Matthew 12:36, he says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account in the day of judgment." In Romans 14, it says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And Peter picks up the same theme in his book where he says, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick, the alive, and the dead? Accounting. It's something that the Lord is reminding us of time and time again in the Scripture. And as we draw near to the end of this year, it is a time the Lord provides for us to think about these matters. Sometimes we want to step aside from or evade the calculation, maybe because we're concerned that the past year has been something for us that we would like to put aside, a year that we have not lived up to the expectations that we know the Word of God calls us to, and we're a little concerned about that. And so I can say from my own personal experience, these things are sometimes we want to push away from ourselves. We really don't want that searchlight of accounting to come into the forefront. This is very important. But you know, as frail as we are as human beings, the Lord remembers that we are dust. He knows about us. He knows our frame. He knows how we are made, and therefore we can take satisfaction in knowing that God is very much aware. The idea of giving account of the year's activity, it's just an indication that there is coming a day that all of us will be giving account for our lives, what we have done, how we have handled the things God has given us. Have we used them faithfully? Have we used the resources God has given to us faithfully? My friends, these are serious thoughts. And I believe it's important for us to realize the biblical truth that is behind them. God is calling us to give account. And today, you are called, as I am, to think on these things. And it's good for us. And as we consider this subject this morning, I want to turn your attention primarily in this book of Proverbs chapter 27 to the 23rd verse, though it is linked with the opening verse that we have also read. Verse 23 says, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and to look well to thy herds. And so the idea of accounting goes well with what the Lord says in the opening verse, boast not thyself of tomorrow. In other words, give account for today. You don't know, I do not know, if we will have another day to live. Let us keep, therefore, short accounts with God. Don't allow things to run on. Don't allow things to be left without properly being aware of them. We've read some verses here from the book of Proverbs, and you need sometimes to read them a couple of times and to study over them to get the full understanding of what the author is putting forth here. It says in verse 21 that a fining pot or a refining pot for silver and a furnace for gold, those two things there have to do with giving the account, the true account of what the gold is. And if you want to find the true value of the gold, what do you have to do? You must put it in the furnace. It has to be heated as the silver in order to cause the dross, the impurities, to rise to the surface that they may be removed so that you can get to the closest value of the material. And so the parallel, the illustration is given that once that happens for the silver and the gold, so is a man to his praise. In other words, when you are put in the furnace, when you are put in the place of testing, then the impurities will rise to the top, and the Lord wants to bring us through as a vessel that is true. He wants to find out the true value of the individual. And that's not for God's information, by the way. That's for our information. That's so that we can see what God has given us and how we are to make account, give account, for all that He has blessed us with. But you'll notice the next verse, 22, says, though thou shouldest bray a fool in a mortar among wheat with a pestle, yet will he not give up his foolishness. It'll not depart from him. And the illustration is that if you put somebody in to be ground down in a fool, and though you take all the elements of the fool, you set them all apart there, yet there's nothing to be gained. He will not learn a thing because there's no goodness that's going to come out of that experience for him. But a righteous man, God will refine us. He will refine you, believer, and so that you will bring forth the very best for him. And the Lord says to us, this is an accounting process. And so when we think about this in light of verse 23, he is saying again, we have to be diligent to take account. Now the word "be thou diligent" is one word in Hebrew. And it means to ascertain by examination, to be aware, to comprehend. The Lord is telling us, I want you to think very carefully about this. And he's using again the illustration of farming, of nature. He doesn't want us to just take a little glance at the issue, because a light glance at it does not do it justice. If we're going to just pass over something with a cursory glance, it's not going to give the true knowledge of the state of things. Here is something that requires all the powers of our concentration. Something that demands our attention. And so, believers, we're brought to this time, and it's a good time for us, the end of the year, to find out the true state of things in our lives. Where are we? Where are we with God? Where are we with our families? Where are we with our finances before the Lord? This is a good thing for us to look carefully at these matters. And I want you to think with me, first of all, quite simply and practically, about your money and your employment. How does God want us to give account of these things? Whatever employment door that God has opened for you, it's essential that we use these opportunities in the very best way that we can. And so whatever your annual income is, well, we all must learn to live within the amount or the income that we have. And my friend, this involves in the very first place of bringing the tithes and the offerings unto the Lord for His use. We are told in the Old Testament, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, that I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. There will not be room enough to receive. What a promise. The Lord is saying to us, take account of what I have given you, because I require of you to give back to my work. I have often encouraged the congregation here by the generosity of the people. Because whenever we put an appeal out for missionary endeavor, whenever we put out an appeal for something that is extra beyond the ordinary needs that we have, you have responded very, very well. And so I commend you on this matter. And I commend you with my heart, because I have seen the generosity that has come forward. You see a need of a mission field, and we've had examples of those who have recently come here, and you have given beyond. You have given above. And so, friends, be encouraged by that and receive that honor from the Lord. But it may be a case where it doesn't address everyone here. And friend, you know your own heart, you know your own state, your own finances before God. And therefore, I bring you this appeal from the Lord's word that you are to take account of the state of things within your own life, within your own financial operation. And if you are in need of seeing that those things are corrected, so that the Lord is not going to be asking for some accounting of what you have done with the value, the means of things that He has given to you. As the Lord has blessed us with things, and whether it is to do with a goat or a sheep or a field or a payroll stub at the end of the week or month, however that's going to work out in our particular time, the Lord says we are to render back unto Him the things that are necessary. And so giving unto God is a teaching from the Scripture that is very prominent. And whether it is by the tenth that we draw from the Old Testament, which was the minimum to give, and then there were the offerings on top of the tithe. But in the New Testament, those things were not necessarily set aside, but it is from a joyful heart that we give unto God. We give as the Lord has blessed us, and we give joyfully and cheerfully and happily unto Him. We are not to be stingy in our giving. Because if that is the case, we are giving with the wrong spirit. And remember this, the Lord doesn't need one dime from you. But He allows us to the privilege to give to His work. God owns everything. Let us not forget that. And He can bring in resources to keep His work going one way or another. But don't forget, friend, you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And God opens up to you the privilege of giving to Him. And if you enter in, you will know His blessing poured out upon your life. He has promised. And so He says to you, to me today, take stock of your flocks. Know your herds. Know where you are in your financial area, so that you might be at liberty to give unto the Lord. And so I say to all of us today, let us be sure that our accounts are up to date with the Lord. In the long list of creditors that we have responsibility to, don't let the Lord be the last one where we give Him a few coins out of the whole year's wage. Let the Lord be the first one that we give to, because we are commanded to bring the first fruits unto God. And the first fruits mean that we do not pay all the other expenses first and then the Lord. No, friend, because like the poor that will always be with us, so the creditors will always be with us, and the bills will always be with us. They will always be there. And it seems often that the paycheck sometimes hardly runs to the end of meeting all of those requirements. Let us be certain that we do not neglect the Lord in this matter. Not all are created equal in the talents that we have been given by God. Not all are created equal in the amounts of money that we have at our disposal. The Old Testament shows us a man like Abraham, a man like Job. These men were wealthy men. As a matter of fact, wealthiest in all of the East, so is Job. But yet you also have in the Old Testament a Naomi and a Ruth, and they were very poor, and their family was very poor. And you have the illustration of Mary and Joseph. They were also very poor, the family into which the Lord was going to be born. And so you have those that have much and those that have not much. And yet, friend, it's not the amount. It is what we are going to do and the accounting. The Lord says, be thou diligent. You are to be accountable for what you have been given by God's gracious hand. And that means that we are not to look at others that have more than us with envy. And then when we look at others that have less, well, there needs to be the look also of compassion. We are to be personally aware of all of our things. We are to look at the face of these matters, which is really what this is saying in the original. Looking at the face of them. It's not acceptable for us to have an ostrich-type mentality to do with finances. We can't stick our head in the sand and just hope that their problems will go away and that these bills will be met or these things will be taken care of. There must be that responsibility. It's a very bad testimony for a Christian to be financially irresponsible, to run up debts, failing to pay bills, to declare bankruptcy. These things for a Christian are not healthy, not a good testimony. Certainly not good for the cause of Christ. How many have used the easy accessibility of credit cards? These companies love to get us on the hook. We become somewhat irresponsible and debt has been increasing. Financial accountability means that we are before the Lord to use that which He has given us properly, in the right way, responsibly, in the correct way of thinking. And of course, this also applies with our dealings of other people. Maybe you've come along the same lines in business or personally, where someone has owed you some money, and sadly it turns out that maybe they profess to be a Christian, and they have left unpaid invoices, or they have left amount owing to you. This is very dishonoring unto the Lord. And when the command comes in Scripture to owe no man anything, it does not mean that borrowing is a sin. But what it does mean is when the transaction has been completed, that there's no amount left owing on the account. As a matter of fact, for us as Christians, it would be better if an amount is left owing to us, that we would suffer loss, than to have it on the other way around, that we are left owing to someone. And friends, sometimes this can happen unconsciously, and if it does and is brought to our attention, then we by the Lord's help and grace, need to get the matter sorted out and rectified. But the purpose behind this teaching is for us to be sure that we're not careless about these practical matters that God has put within our hand. We are to acknowledge that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of heaven, our Heavenly Father. And He has also promised that He will supply all our need according to His riches in glory. We're also to remember in this, and the application is to give unto the Lord's work in order that His work will not be hindered, that it will continue to go forward, that the Lord will bless us with that great privilege of sharing with His people the things that He has given to us. But could we move on, secondly, from looking at personal money and finance to consider the family? Now our text says to know the state of thy flocks. And literally it means to look into the face of your sheep, to look into their eyes. By so doing, you are taking a close examination. You are seeing the health of your flocks, the state of them. And in so doing, you are then going to provide for them. You are then going to protect them from the wolf and the enemy. The whole idea behind this is you have superintendence over that which God has blessed you with, and we are then accountable. We are to have compassion and mercy. It's a good thing when, in a very practical way, we take interest in kindness towards God's creatures. One commentator said, a man who can roughly treat a horse or a dog can never be one in whom his own family will find much to love. True statement. Lord says in Proverbs 12, verse 10, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, his animal, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. It's worthwhile to see how the Lord views the animals within his creation, because as he created them, he did so with purpose and with beauty. He created them for us to look upon them, to admire them, and he has also provided for them in nature. The Lord takes care of his creation. He gave to Adam the responsibility of naming all of the animals that he had created, and therefore he showed him that he was to have an interest in these creatures. And then we know that the Lord takes note of even the smallest little bird that falls to the ground, the sparrow. He takes notice of these things. They are not unimportant to him. They are part of his creation. And if that's the case, we would do well also to take account of these things. If the Lord would have us take such interest in animals under our care, what about our families under our care? God has given and made creation of the family the main structure of humanity. It is really the backbone of the nation. And it's been said before that when the family goes astray, well, so does the nation go astray. And when the family is redefined as it has been in our time, so that no longer is a family made up of a husband and wife with children in a unit, it is now to compile two men or two women. And the family has been redefined. And whenever society takes that upon themselves to make this redefinition outside of Holy Scripture, you're going to see the destruction of society and of the country itself. It is going to erode, and it's going to go down and down and down, because the Lord has told us in the Scripture that we as people within a family unit are to look well to our families, our children, those that the Lord has given to us, because we are part of the family of God. We have been brought into the relationship with God through Christ Jesus, and because of that we have been given new life, and we have eternity with the Lord. We are his children. We are adopted into his family. It's important. The Lord wants us to be sure that we look well to our own families. The high priestly line in the Old Testament was raised up through Aaron, and it was to continue down through his family. The Lord Jesus Christ himself humbled himself and became part of a human family. In the Ten Commandments, the very first commandment that comes with a promise attached to it has to do with honoring father and mother, the family unit. It is a blessing when congregations Congregations are able to be built from the smallest size, develop and grow, and as children and grow up within the church unit, and families grow and become strong in their service to the Lord. These are important things. This is part of what God has called us to within our fellowship, within our ministry. The family unit is very important before God. And we all have responsibility of taking care of that state of things. And the responsibility lies with father and mother, and it is in that order. It's very difficult when we see these things breaking down in our society. It's very difficult when, as a result of the attack of Satan upon our homes, we see the evidence of these things being borne out within Christian families. And it certainly indicates to us how active the devil is, and how, as we draw near to the end in the last days, as his power is increasing, that is Satan, and he continues to bombard the house and the family, well, friends, we see these things, and it's becoming more and more distressing. And it may be, friends, that you're on the receiving end of such a family, such a breakdown, and it's so difficult. And other people who have not gone through that cannot properly enter into what you are suffering and what you're going through. And believer, I would say to each one of us, let us be earnest to hold up each other in prayer. When you know that there's a brother or a sister that is hurting because the family has been injured, let us not in any way look upon them to point the finger. But let us rather rally around to encourage and to build up and to pray in silence, to pray and bring these matters before God, for they are important. And how vital it is as husband and wives to be working together, not working at odds, working together for the great cause of building the work of Christ. For as our families are strong, so the work of God will be strong. We must apply this in a very practical way. And we ask ourselves, well, how is the balance sheet? How are we doing? May God help us and give us grace. And be certain that we are not neglecting any of these areas. Friends, I say that to my own heart today. I don't preach this to you apart from saying it in my own soul, because I know the areas in my life that need to be addressed. I know the problem areas within my own heart and family. And so I say, Lord, give us a double portion of grace. Pour out thy Spirit upon us so that we might be enabled to serve better in our time, in the short time that we have left. We need to take account. And over this past year, as we all look at our own selves, our own homes, we say, Lord, where have we failed? Lord, I need to know how to improve. I need to know and have the power and the grace of God that I might be able to do better next year, that we might be able to improve and go on from strength to strength, or maybe we have to say from a point of weakness, Lord, make me stronger. I need that. I need the balance sheet to be improving. If there is a lack of spiritual growth in your own heart, or worse, you see that the past year you maybe have cried unto the Lord for improvement, for development, for help, and you don't see the answer to it. It hasn't materialized. And you're looking at the state of your flock personally. We're looking at this in our own hearts. We're looking at the state. We're wondering, well, Lord, what's the answer? things actually seem to be getting maybe a little bit worse and they're not improving, friends, never give up. That's certainly the attack of the devil to discourage you and to set you aside. But turn your eyes upon the Lord and cry out unto Him with all your heart and say, "Oh God, do not let me go. Do not let me go backward. I must go forward." Going on with the Lord. One commentator said this, "It is important, if it is important to carefully guard and to cherish silly sheep, the flocks, the herds, how much more is it for attention to be given to Christ's sheep, the souls which He has redeemed by His precious blood?" And we look at that in our families for our children, and then we also look at that by extension in the congregation, looking out for one another, praying for our families, praying that we will be strong in the Lord. It's a question that also comes to us as leaders in the local church, for elders, for deacons, for ministers, most definitely. Have we looked well to the state of the flock as a congregation? Have we been diligent about looking into the face to see the state spiritually, practically, in every way? And what have we done? How have we seen to improve this? These are important questions, and it all comes to us with the idea of accounting. Maybe you're involved in Sunday school work. Maybe you're involved in youth work or in seniors' works. These illustrations, they all apply, and no matter what you're involved with, to preserve is as needful to acquire in every kind of possession. And so as we have, we look to what we have, to seek God for increasing what we have. As a congregation, we look to that and we pray, "Lord, save sinners. Lord, work in the hearts of those who are outside of Christ. They might be converted and be with us to grow in grace and the knowledge of God." That is our desire. Yes, to look at these things which we have and to pray that God will increase in every dimension. So, we have thought about our finances. We've thought about the family. I close with this one thought. What about our fellowship with God over the past year? Well, it's at this point that is really the foundation for all the others, isn't it? Because we know if we're not right in our own hearts before God, then everything else goes wrong. If the soul is out of fellowship with God, if we're walking afar off with Christ, or perhaps maybe just cold in heart due to neglect, no matter how much we try to attend to other needs, we will find there is very little power to accomplish even the most basic tasks for God. Everything becomes such a difficulty if we are not ourselves walking with Him and in touch with the Lord. It's a bit like the hamster that runs on the wheel, or the boat that's sitting on the trailer and the motor's on, but the propeller's spinning, but it doesn't go anywhere. No, there has to be contact. And friend, when we think about these matters, we don't want to spin our wheel. We don't want to just have an exertion of energy without anything really happening. We need to pray that God will come to energize us, to revive our spirits. We might walk with Him, no spiritual power. We ask this question: what's the state of the flock in our own heart? How is it there? Look into the face of it. See it. Answer the questions honestly and say, "Lord, I need to improve." Well, of course, every believer says that, don't we? No one says that I've got there and I'm everything I should be for the Lord. We never say that this side of heaven. But yet, friend, There is a knowledge within your heart, honestly before God, if you are seeking for His blessing in your life, if you are endeavoring with your soul to walk with Him. Yes, we have our deficiencies. Yes, we see there's room for more improvement. But it may be, friend, today that you have to honestly say, I have neglected this over the past year. It's not been what it should be. And I say this to you in this dimension as well, because you may be saying, well, I have checked all my boxes off and I have done this and done this and done this. But we can do all the outward activities of these matters, but maybe the heart, maybe we have become cold inside. And you know, that was the very problem with the church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 3. Because they had everything lined up according to the Word of God. But the Savior came to them and He said, but I have one thing against you. But you have left your first love. And so we as a people can have everything all set up. And we can have everything in order as we think we should. And we can be going through all the motions of things. But friend, maybe the heart is not where it should be with God. Who can answer that question? Only you can. Because we cannot look into the heart of each other. You look into your heart, and I will have to look into mine. And I will judge these matters before God, as you must, friend. But one thing we must not do, and that's to think that everything's okay and I have nothing else to deal with. That would be worse. We must beware of hypocrisy, to beware that we are doing what is right according to God. And how does the Lord address this matter? He says, look to your flock. Look to the herd. Judge the matter yourself and know the health of it. Know the health of your heart and be in touch with the Lord. You know, David said in Psalm 119, Lord, with my whole heart have I sought after Thee. And if we say that, and we truly desire that inside, God will answer our prayer. He will meet with us. He will commune with us. And we will close this year in fellowship with Him. And we will introduce the new year walking with God. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts today. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Dear Lord, take this word today, I pray, and open its truth to all of us. Lord, we need it. We can't play games, Lord, when we're talking with our God. Lord, you know all about us. You know our hearts. Look in the inside. You know all the hidden recesses, the doors that sometimes we keep locked and bolted, and no one is allowed access. But Lord, we know that everything is known about us by Thee, our God. And therefore we pray, help us to have a clear conscience and an open heart. Lord, teach us what that means and enable us to go forward, to finish this year in victory, not in defeat. Lord, we don't want that, in victory. Carry us forward into this new year. Hear our prayers now. Lord, there's quite likely someone here who is not a Christian. They've never really come to Christ yet. And I ask that you would have mercy upon them now and open their heart to the Word, to Christ. Let them call out right where they're seated now and say, what must I do to be saved? Lord, give them repentance unto salvation and the gift of everlasting life. So part us in Thy fear with Thy rich blessing. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.